love this podcast? Support us by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Hit the link in the episode description to support us now. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Nicole.
Hey, Rolando.
What's going on? I have a question for you.
I have an answer, I hope.
What movie do you think best encapsulates what high school is like?
I'm going to go with Heathers.
Really? Heathers?
I know, the most artistic, outlandish film I'm going to go with. That's just like, turns everything up to 11.
Yeah.
I forgot. Actually,
that's
it's either
how all high schools are.
Yeah, right? It is either Heathers or like the most boring, mundane, not exciting high school movie that I'm not coming. It's not coming to my head. What about you?
Breakfast Club, right? Because everyone kind of has their own scene and then somehow, some way you all.
Even though we
together.
Never really see them in school.
Right. We saw them in detention, but Saturday detentions were a real thing at my high school. So
seriously?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Saturday detentions were real because there were so many people getting too many people had in-school suspension. So the solution high school came up with was Saturday detentions. And wow. I am lucky enough to be able to say I never once got Saturday detention.
Wow. Good for you.
I was a good boy.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got detention in my life. I think maybe once.
Oh, I've got, that's a different story. I got plenty of detention. No in-school suspensions, though.
Yeah, no, I was definitely a very obedient child.
Same, but what did that say about, are we conformists? Is that what that's saying?
I guess, surprisingly, us.
Yeah, I guess, when you're gay, right, you had to try to fit in and make as little waves as possible in high school, so.
This is true, and I did just that.
Yeah, as so did our main characters in these teen movies that we're about to cover, quintessential 90s teen movies, and I guess maybe for the 2020s, we'll see, time will tell, but She's All That, 1999's Darling, starring Freddie Prinze Jr. and Rachel Lee Cook, and 2021's He's All That.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's a phrase that everyone is still using in 2021. All that.
Yeah, seriously. That's a very 2021 TikTok Gen Z term.
We have opinions, guys. So
as always.
So with that said, I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality.
I would love it if one week we were like, hey guys, we were going to do this episode, but we have no opinions. We have nothing to say.
And, well, I feel like that might be the case this week with both you and Eddie Z.
Interesting. Okay.
I feel like I will be the first to admit that I'm the one who kind of pushed for this movie for us to cover it. Only because She's All That is a movie that I did see not when it came out. I saw it maybe a year later. I saw it in 2000 because the way I saw it was me and my friends in eighth grade, we got together and we wanted to watch high school movies to see what high school is going to be like. And of course, She's All That was one of the ones on the list. And talk about terrifying, because it's just like, oh my God, this is what the popular kids do. They make bets on you. What?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. And so, they're all white and well off
and
beautiful.
Oh, well, we knew that wasn't going to be the case for us because.
That's true. Back then, that was just a given. Yeah,
you know, like we knew where we were from. We weren't blind to that kind of stuff just yet. But as usual, let's just. Do you want to kick things off, Nicole?
Well, yeah. So I have a question for you, Rolando.
Oh, you have a question.
And also, Eddie Z.
Hi, Eddie.
Who's here. He's super excited for this one.
Yeah. Super.
How familiar are you guys with Pygmalion?
Very familiar, actually. I was actually telling, as we were watching He's All That, I was telling Eddie all about it because Eddie thought that like the pre-generator for these kinds of movies was Sabrina. And I was like, oh no, it goes beyond that. It goes way
earlier. Sabrina with Audrey Hepburn?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I never thought about Sabrina being a Pygmalion of sorts.
It's not the typical Pygmalion, right? Like, it's not one that will be, but there are elements.
Yeah. So now when I ask you, how familiar are you with Pygmalion? Are you talking about the Greek mythological figure, or are you talking about the George Bernard Shaw play?
I'm talking about the play, not the source of the name Pygmalion.
Yes. Yes. Well, so the source of, do you know where the story comes from of what,
yeah,
who Pygmalion is?
It's like Greek a sculptor, mythology. This guy, and he fell in love with the sculpture.
He falls in love with his own sculpture, pretty much. And that right there can sum up where this conversation is going to kind of go. Because Pygmalion is, you know, about Henry Higgins, who, well, actually, no, that's My Fair Lady. Yes, actually, it's the same characters. I wanted to make sure. I had to make sure. So Henry Higgins, you know, with some pressure, you know, says, I can take any girl, and I could take the most disgusting Cockney street creature and turn her into a glamorous, you know, woman. And then he does, and he falls in love with her, even though they have a terrible relationship.
He wasn't pressured, though. He was just making the bets because he just happened upon her on a rainy day.
Yes.
Him and his coworker. Mm-hmm. They're both, he was a
Pickering.
Yes. And he was a language teacher, right? Like
he was a linguist. Yeah.
Linguist. Okay.
Yeah. And he, you know, he,
and he wanted to show, was just like, I can make anyone. You can make any, you could, what, pearls to swine, pearls to swine, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. 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 Because he, you know, believes in the power of language and dialect. And, you know, here, you know, people who speak Cockney accents, some might say, abuse the English language, which is what Henry Higgins would say.
And they're usually associated with, like, the lower class.
Yes. Yeah, too. And Northerners of, yeah. And it's this whole thing. So that's the basis of it. Mm-hmm. People might be familiar with Pygmalion because they turned into a musical with Audrey Hepburn. First Julie Andrews and Audrey Hepburn, My Fair Lady.
Oh, so we're covering like this is like the third, fourth. This is this
kind story. Of. Well, so it's interesting because this whole idea of reinventing oneself or being, you know, makeovers, right? Mm-hmm. It's an old story and we get a lot of different versions of it. The most famous and I think the most iconic being Pygmalion. And actually, She's All That is definitely based on Pygmalion to an extent.
I mean, but I would say My Fair Lady is probably the most famous one.
My Fair Lady is absolutely the most famous and most direct one. I mean, you know, Henry Higgins, mm-hmm. Eliza Doolittle, these are the names. But I would argue that in the 80s and the 90s, I think we kind of had a big fascination in teen movies in particular with Pygmalion-esque stories. Because even, look at Clueless, right? Even Clueless is about someone who is trying to make over people and kind of control their lives. And now this is more
Clueless
Jane Austen's
is,
Emma.
Yeah, that was Emma.
But even that, to an extent, is a different version of this story.
Well, then you would argue, then your argument here is that Jane Austen is the grandmammy of
Well, so going back to the idea of the Greek mythological figure, a man who falls in love with his statue,
with his sculpture.
You know, your own creation kind of thing. This idea, you know, went into Pygmalion. That's the most famous form of it. But there's been other forms of it from Jane Austen, too, She's All That, you know, even Pretty in Pink. You could like
Pretty
name
in Pink,
a lot
that
of
one comes to mind. I would,
80s and 90s movies that kind of fall and adhere to this kind of,
but isn't there an
story
element, though, isn't there an element where it's the person being made over is not totally aware of the intention behind the person who's make them over?
That's definitely the because what's going it, on in She's All That for sure, but sometimes it's the case, sometimes it's not.
In My Fair, not in My Fair Lady. In Pygmalion,
then all makeover characters are Pygmalion characters. Then I mean, so, it just becomes encompassed of a lot, though.
I think Pygmalion, though, is more about not just the makeover itself. I think, like, is there not being aware
is
of the
there
makeover?
Always the idea of there's a bet. There's
so
a,
Eliza
an intention.
Doolittle knows that she's pretty much an experiment.
Okay.
In Pygmalion and My Fair Lady, and that she is like, he's almost like, you should be thankful that I'm doing this for you, kind of a thing.
He was. That's because the guy was kind of a douche. She ends up falling in love with her, but she, so I don't know, in My Fair Lady, does she end up with him or no? I never saw My Fair Lady. Okay. In the real one, they do not end up together. She actually kind
of, which is more fitting, yeah.
Right. She walks away from this hot mess and she's just like, I'm not going to let you, you know, you mistreated me. And, mm-hmm. and you know, she calls him out on it. So she ends up, you know, walking out on the relationship.
Yeah, she becomes so good. Even, you know, to an extent, A Star Is Born is a version of this story, I would argue. You know, somebody who you know, he discovers her, right? That idea of discovering someone and then taking credit for them, building them up to the point where they surpass you and they don't need you anymore.
Yeah. I guess but like as Nicole said, Pygmalion is more about like the idea of the person who is reshaping the other person ends up falling in love with that creation.
Yes.
Right. I would say that would be the more important element of the Pygmalion story. Mm-hmm. Whether or not there's a bet, whether or not, because there wasn't a bet in Pygmalion. They were just like, it was like a friendly wager. You know, they were just kind of showing off their skills.
Yes.
You know, and
slightly different. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Pygmalion was also more a commentary on society. Not even like, it wasn't a love story per se. It was more about this, you know, the way society treats the lower classes, you know, it's
absolutely
a very classist story, which is something that still carries over, I would say, into the 90s and the 2020s version.
Oh,
to
absolutely.
Some extent.
So am I supposed to hear your microphone?
Do you not hear my microphone?
I don't. I just realized that. I usually do, especially when Eddie spoke. I was like, wait a minute. I don't really hear him, so.
Do you hear me now?
Yes. Okay, cool. So you were recording, right? It was just a
It was just on Zoom.
All right, sweet. Absolutely. And I think that the idea of not only making people over, you know, because everyone loves a good makeover and everyone loves like even home makeovers and all that stuff, but molding, the idea of molding into someone, into who you want them or you think they could be, or what even maybe society wants them to be, is something that we're still kind of really into, I think, as a story, which is why I think She's All That is so successful, at least in terms of like a movie that people really like and people will like, the fact that it warrants a remake in this day and age, whether or not that remake was needed. So She's All That.
Interesting. You said a lot there.
We set it up big. We're going there. I mean, I had to think of something for this damn episode.
I just don't know. Do people really think of She's All that much? I know that it's like the main spoof movie for like Not Another Teen Movie.
It is, which I think is the only remake we needed of this movie. I mean, I think you could, anything requires or could, you know, get a deep dive into it and be like, okay, oh, hey, this is what it's about, you know? Like,
all right.
So, you know, I know it's just entertainment, but still, right. Even then.
Of course.
So.
I mean, I picked it, so.
Exactly. So 1989 was a really good year for movies, you know?
Is it every year?
No, 1989 was a really good year, I think, for movies.
What
I
did mean, we get?
We got Fight Club that year.
Oh, okay.
We got, I just had it. The Sixth Sense came out.
Oh, that is a good one.
Yeah. I think the movie that won that year, the Oscar, was that American Beauty? It might have been American Beauty.
That's another good movie. Are we allowed to say that?
That it was a good
Kevin
movie.
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't write it. It wasn't his brainchild.
Didn't he get an Oscar?
Yeah, he did.
He did, yeah.
Whatever. It happened. The Matrix came out that year.
And that's coming out pretty soon again.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God, the 99.
We're covering it.
It's coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah. A really great movie called The Green Mile. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, of course I've seen The Green Mile.
Great movie. Eyes Wide Shut. And in terms of...
Never seen that.
I think it's a great movie. In terms of teen movies, That's the Year Never Been Kissed came out.
That's a good one.
That's a good movie. That's the year Cruel Intentions came out.
That's a great teen movie.
That's the year 10 Things I Hate About You came out.
That's another, yeah. Okay, these are like...
Yeah, right? So,
teen
and
movie galore.
This is the year that She's All That came out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because rewatching this film, I didn't realize just how many people got their start in this movie, or at least it was one of their first movies. This is, by 2021 standards, a pretty all-star cast.
Who?
So we got Freddie Prinze Jr.
This is not his breakout. He already was
a star. No, it's not his. But Rachel Lee Cook is the stars. But Matthew Lillard, who, Scream, yeah, he was pretty much a star by then. But Paul Walker, he wasn't really a star.
I think Paul Walker was a nobody,
yeah.
When this movie
Anna
came out.
Anna Paquin as Freddie's sister. Kieran Culkin, even. Usher.
Yes.
This was before Usher was like a huge star. So like I was like, oh wow, all these people.
Yes.
I didn't realize. And this was before they were pretty legitimate stars.
I forgot Anna Paquin was in it until I was rewatching it. And I had to like stop this thing. I was like, wait, is that Anna Paquin? I didn't even realize she was in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. And she has my favorite line too. She's like, let me introduce to you the not improved, just different character. You know, it's like nice. Very cool. I dig it.
I'm so glad the writers caught that. It's just
yeah, they were like, oh wait, we can't say new but improved. Maybe they caught it on set.
Yeah, maybe. And the script editor was just like, no, you can't say this. Women will hate you.
Yes. So so when they were coming up with this movie, they actually wanted to pretty much make like a John Hughes movies for the 90s, for the late 90s. And it's interesting too, because this movie's kind of full of like Easter eggs of other movies. The character Lainey Boggs is actually a reference to Winona Ryder.
Who's Lainey Boggs?
Lainey Boggs is the main
Lainey
character.
Oh, yeah. The main character. Okay, Lainey. I do.
Yeah. Because Winona Ryder. Boggs,
right? I was just like, who is that? I don't remember a Lainey Boggs.
Winona Ryder's character in Edward Scissorhands is Kim Boggs, and in Reality Bites, her name is Lainey Pierce, Lainey Boggs.
Oh, that's okay. Got it. Cute.
And then I think they got the character of Zach Taylor actually from two members of Hanson.
Okay.
Zach Hanson and Taylor Hanson. But yeah, but the rest of it.
How
is
that a John
kinda
Hughes reference?
No, well, the rest of the movie. It was just the fact that the director, Robert Iskow, who actually the film that he directed right before this was the Brandy Cinderella, which we talked about last week.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to make a John Hughes movie kind of for that generation. You know?
I will say, yeah. I mean, you could see the John Hughes influence on this, right?
For sure.
This wasn't, because this one compared to some of the other teen, so let's talk about the teen movies that came out that year, right? Like Cruel Intentions. That was just a glossy, hypersexualized, like.
And another makeover story.
It is another makeover story, too. Yes, that what it is. That
and
one.
And so it was 10 Things I Hate About You.
10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah, I mean, makeovers were hot, I guess, then. What year did Queer Eye come out?
Oh, in like 2002.
Oh, so these even predate that. You know what? Mm-hmm. You know what? Queer Eye is copycats. All right. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So. Cruel Intentions, like this really glossy, really like hypersexualized movie. I remember it was scandalous because Sarah Michelle Gellar made out with Selma Blair, right?
Scandalous.
It was so scandalous back then. And it kind of had like kind of more, it had more like a, it had like a little bit of an edge, if I remember that movie, right? Yeah. At least compared to She's All That, which felt like almost like wholesome. Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you also have 10 Things I Hate About You, which felt a lot more. I don't know. It just didn't feel like this movie. It just has like almost like, again, another, it has like a different edge. Right. It feels like a product of the 90s, where this one feels more like it's trying to be something from the 80s almost.
Yeah.
Would you agree or disagree with that?
I guess I could see that. I do think that also She's All That was just trying to have a little bit more fun than maybe some of the other movies. This and Never Been Kissed, I feel like, are just, they don't take themselves too seriously. But like the moments that are meant to be heartfelt are actually kind of heartfelt.
Yeah. Well, with Never Been Kissed, though, that's like one of those interesting, like, yeah, it takes place in a high school, but like she's a 30-year-old woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not, I don't know if I would count that as one of the high school movies.
Yeah,
per se.
I count it. And I actually love that movie because I love Drew Barrymore in it.
I mean, yeah, it's
so
a good movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good movie. I don't know. But Drew Barrymore is so perfectly cast that it's such an enjoyable movie for me.
Right.
Anyway, but She's All That. Like we said, it's Pygmalion. So it's really simple. Zach Taylor is the most popular, one of the most popular guys in school.
An unreasonable level of popularity, right? Because he has like good grades.
He has control over people.
Yeah. He's like the captain of the soccer team. He's a president of the of the class. You know what I mean? It's just like, pick a lane, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the fact that he gets dumped by his girlfriend is just not good for his reputation.
Right, obviously.
And he gets kind of, he gets egged on by his guy friends, you know, like, hey, you know, we're going to give you a bet to see if you could turn any random girl into a prom queen within 6 weeks. and they choose Lainey Boggs. And a couple years later, a parody of teen movies, because they were so prolific in the 90s, came out called Not Another Teen Movie. And they make fun of this point so beautifully, Not Another Teen Movie, where, you know, she's unpopular, but she's also supposed to be ugly.
Right.
But the character of Lainey Boggs, played by really attractive Rachel Lee Cook, is not ugly in any way.
Oh, yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous, and the only thing that makes her, by any means, quote, ugly, is the fact that she wears glasses, maybe?
She wears glasses and has a haircut that's a little too long for her, I guess.
Yeah, and she's in, like, baggy overalls with paint on it. Yeah, like,
which shockingly is, like, 2020s lesbian fashion, I found out. So
apparently, the director realized how he could not turn Rachel Lee Cook, like, she wasn't ugly and there's no way she was ever going to be ugly, so he compared it to the transformation of Clark Kent into Superman.
Yeah, I can see that. That's so funny. And it's it's such a funny scene in the original one, but even in this one though, it's kind of cringy because just like these glasses are just going to take them off and just like, wow, she's gorgeous. It's like,
yeah, what is that's like? I'm going to constantly refer to Not Another Teen Movie because I think it's such a, like, it has stupid moments, but the parts that work so well. The transformation scene, she literally takes off the glasses, takes down her ponytail. She's like, I did it. I'm a genius. But yeah, so Lainey she's unpopular. She's an artist, right?
She's interesting.
And she's kind of, yeah, she's dorky. She kind of keeps to herself. She hangs out with like other like quote weirdos, like goth kids or whatever.
Well, that's the thing. No, she doesn't hang out with those goth kids. Those goth kids were so mean to her.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Sorry. Oh my god. Yeah, so this is what I texted you when I was rewatching the movie. I'm just like, my god, I didn't realize how dark this was, because those goth kids come to her and they are complimenting her on her art, and they're saying, it's like, you know how like some artists are so ahead of their time, but like no one really recognizes anything until they die. You should go kill yourself. And they were, I think, and I was like watching this. I'm just like, oh my god, like this is
terrible.
That is awful. That is such a heinous thing to say. People get canceled nowadays. Yeah, she's from the faculty.
Yes.
Yes, her.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Clea DuVall is also in this. Who, I mean, for a lesbian, she's more prolific than she must be.
Yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, like another also, one. I totally forgot about that.
You also didn't give it a shout out to Gabrielle Union or Lil Kim.
Yes, Lil Kim. See, so I kind of breezed through the movie. I just did a refresher. I didn't watch the entire thing from start to finish because I feel like I've seen this movie. I know it from like the back of my head, but I guess not Clea DuVall or Gabrielle Union or Lil Kim. But yeah, so, okay, so she's more so a loner. Let's say that about Lainey Boggs.
She is a loner. And we find out the reason she's a loner is because her mother passed away. And that kind of left a hole in her heart.
Yeah, she has some, you know, trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that does affect young people. It affects everyone.
Of course.
But, like, more so when you're younger, you don't really know how to process all of that.
Definitely.
So that's her reason. And yeah, I mean, Zach pretty much just begins this whole wooing thing of her. Doesn't tell her, obviously, what his true intentions are. And
she's kind of suspicious from the get-go.
She is, as she should be.
Right.
Yeah, so slowly but surely, they get to know each other. They fall in love. She has a really famous, I think, at least, it's pretty iconic, her reveal of her transformation. She walks down.
The red dress.
Kiss Me by Sixpence None the Richer plays. Uh-huh. The red dress. And like, she doesn't look that different, but she looks really nice.
I mean, it's a great look, right?
It is a great look, yeah.
You know what? Like, if you had asked me before I rewatched the movie, like, is that the scene right before the prom? I'd be like, yeah, that's what she wears to the prom. And that's like, no, that's like halfway through the movie. The prom doesn't even happen for like another half hour.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. You know what I mean? When I watched Tease All That and I saw that she wore a red dress, I was like, wait a minute, did she wear the red dress?
Well, yeah, yeah, I had the same thought because I even paused it. I'm like, oh my god, Eddie, this red dress is a reference to the dress that she wears at prom. Turns out I was wrong. She did not wear it to prom. She wore it to a party where, can we talk about how also mean Zach's girlfriend was, or ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, she was a bitch.
Horrific person, right? Like, she cheats on him, right? And then when she cheats on him with Matthew Lillard, who's playing like a MTV reality TV show kind of guy, right? And to great effect also. And when he ends up breaking it off with her, and they both say these lines that I actually, when I was rewatching, I thought they were smart. more so on her. When she breaks up with Zach, she says, "Oh, you didn't really think we're going to like stay together after high school, did you?" Which I thought was a smart thing for a teen movie to say, because like that, that's usually what they project. These relationships mm-hmm. are everlasting. These relationships are ever. And right from the very beginning, they really make a point to say, it's just like, oh, these relationships don't last, which is kind of a sad thing if you think about it, because at the end, you know, Lainey and Zach do end up together, but we know the reality is they probably won't end up together.
They're a doomed relationship.
Yeah. Right. No, yeah. No, I mean, very few. No one is a Corey or Topanga, you know?
Yeah. And if they are, there might be a lot of stunted issues there.
Agreed. I agree on that. She ends up, you know, I don't know. She was just so mean. She cheats on this guy. And then like when he finally has like a new girl that he's interested in, she's doing everything she can to get in the way for no reason. It's just like, you chose the reality TV show douchebag.
Yeah, she's a villain for the sake of being a villain, and she's very unsympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, I feel like sometimes when you need a villain, it's just like, oh, just because she's a bitch, right? You know, when a person's a bitch, there's no other redeeming qualities to them, apparently.
Well, that was her irredeemable quality. What about his best friend, played by Paul Walker, though?
Yeah.
He was another terrible asshole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This was another one who, the only way you could have made him worse if he'd gone on full rapey at the end, which we never got to see.
Yes, thank you.
It's implied.
It is, yeah.
But like, I think we never see it.
They definitely portray teenagers as assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Selfish assholes, you know? Right. And I mean, there are selfish assholes in this world, so I'm not going to be like, that's unrealistic. But it's always, I like to see some redueeming qualities in people, and they didn't give me any with these people.
Yeah, this is true. Very, very true.
And it's interesting because I feel like Zach actually, they spent so much time on trying to give redeeming qualities to Zach. They wanted to actually give him an arc because, mm-hmm. you know, he's like some preppy jerk in the beginning. And then he actually kind of redeems himself towards the end when, you know, he realizes, oh, my God, I shouldn't have made her into a bet. And she's an actual person instead of just like, you know, whether she's a pretty face or not a pretty face or whatever.
Yep.
And I feel like an asshole, and my friends are assholes, and I don't want to be like that. Mm-hmm. And there's even some like angst about, you know, who he wants to be in his future, like school's ending, and they all kind of feel the anxiety about what's next in their lives. And that's kind of like hovering over them and like becoming adults, you know? So it's almost as if like the Zach character is starting to embrace becoming an adult more so than his other friends.
Yeah. Which in retrospect is kind of like, I feel a little shoved in. Right.
Yeah.
Because there's like a scene where like his dad is yelling at him about like not applying to colleges or like missing the deadlines and stuff. And I was just I forgot about that scene as a kid rewatching it. I'm just like, where is this storyline coming from? Like, does he have like straight A's and like he's captain of the side? I'm sure he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Why?
It was they wanted to add that dimension to it and relatability and, you know, be like, hey, these are just some lost kids at the end of the day, which, you know, I appreciate the effort.
I suppose.
But I mean, other than that, did you feel that like the characters of Zach and Lainey were, you know, well fleshed out characters watching it?
Necessarily, maybe not the most well fleshed out characters, but for like a 90, for not even the 90s, for a teen rom-com, mm-hmm. right? I you know, I think they hit the marks and stuff. But
I mean, they can't all be Cher.
Oh.
From Clueless.
I thought you meant like Cher. I was just like, what teen movie does she do? And now I want to see Cher her age in a teen movie.
Oh my God. She'd be great.
She would still be great. She would still be fucking. Oh my God. They should remake Never Been Kissed with Cher.
With Cher.
People would watch that.
Like, yeah. And then she could cover that Beach Boys song that plays at the end.
Which one?
Anyway, don't worry, don't baby.
Oh,
that place. I would do my Cher impersonation, but we're getting too carried away with Cher right now. I think Cher in Clueless is a great example of like a character who just goes through an arc, who learns a lot. You know, she actually goes through a lot of humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to see her, you know, kind of be queen bee, get embarrassed, and then like kind of actually become like, you know, a girl.
Right.
Based on her experiences. And Zach doesn't get as embarrassed, I think, as he should have. I think Lainey suffers more of her own humiliations, but Zach not so much.
Well, Lainey was suffering humiliation after humiliation. Like, first she seriously. Gets, like at the party, they just, like, they throw, I think, booze on her. Mm-hmm. And, oh, she has, like, the ugliest run, though, where she's just, like, she's just waving her arms. Just,
like... They made fun of that really well in another team movie, too.
And they also made fun of it also in Scary Movie.
Yes.
With Cindy's just running. Like, maybe she was making fun of Neve Campbell, but, like, it's such an ugly run. It's just, like, the director was just, like, go, exaggerate the shit out of that.
Yeah.
And of course, like, the main humiliation, which is just, like, when you find out that you're a bet. And it's just, I remember as a kid when I watched this, I'm just like, man, what a horrible feeling. Like, this is, high school's going to be so, is this what high school's going to be like? Like, I don't want to be that loser. That
like, gets, if you're different, this is what high school's going to be like. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a, it really instills, like, this fear. And it, on some level, right, like, we're not, the movie never goes out of its way to praise Lainey for her individuality.
Yeah.
In fact, mm-hmm. she gets rewarded when she conforms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, she becomes popular. Uh-huh. People are stopping me.
She, you know, she becomes, like, a runner-up for prom queen, you know? So, like, I don't know. Is this the right message for a teen movie? Now, in retrospect, right? Me watching it as an adult, thinking about that, where it's just like, well, I don't know. Like, she was an individual. Like, yeah, she was a loner, but, like, you know, when she goes to college and she drinks a little, like, I'm sure that'll change.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah. It also sucks at the end when, you know, she realizes she's a bet, but then she, like, gets with the Paul Walker guy, and then he almost gets to rape her, and then, like, Freddie Prinze Jr. has to come in and save the day.
Well, it's like, he doesn't save the day. So that's the thing. I do appreciate that, right? So we don't see what happens, but, like, she comes home, and I think the implication was there that she had sex with Paul Walker, but when she ends up talking to Freddie Prinze, she is like, oh no, yeah, he tried to move on me, and I think she blew a blowhorn into his ear and fucked up his hearing, and you know, that's what happens to him. So that's why at the end, when he's in graduation, he can't hear well.
Oh shit, look at that.
Yeah. So I mean
the only humiliation Zach suffered was at the end when he goes to graduation naked, but he did it on his own fucking terms anyway.
He did it on his own terms, and, like, if I looked like that, like, who wouldn't be walking around naked?
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm tall and skinny and handsome, like...
Whew. Yeah, the movie almost doesn't, like... yeah, and you look like Freddie Prinze Jr. The movie, like, thinks that, you know, it really praises him. It mm-hmm. doesn't want to... like, show him in any real unfavorable light. And even though what he did was pretty shitty, the movie never really kind of goes with that. Like, it doesn't really shame him too hard and let you see what that's like and uh-huh. make it uncomfortable for you.
I agree. I mean, to be honest, if this wanted to correct even the mistakes of Pygmalion, she should have not ended up with, obviously, Freddie Prinze Jr. She should have been like, no, I don't want you either. And she should have ended up with her best friend, played by that kid from Mighty Ducks. I forgot his name in Mighty Ducks, but he was also in Daredevil. Foggy. That's it. I don't...
Is that his character's name in the movie?
Foggy? I don't know. No.
Daredevil.
That's the character's name in Daredevil. I don't know what his character. Oh. He was like the kid who worked in who was in the alley, like he was like too old for high school or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah. Jesse.
I thought Jesse the friend's was Joshua name. Jackson.
No, no. In Mighty Ducks?
Yeah. Isn't that wasn't that Joshua Jackson's character?
No.
Oh, you know what? I guess I didn't pay that much attention when we covered Mighty Ducks.
His last name was Conway, but what was his first name?
Yeah, but you know who I'm talking about, right? He's like the tank, I think is what they called him as a nickname or something. Or like the train.
Charlie Conway. Yeah, he was. Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's why.
So he was, yeah, he was in this movie. He played.
Yeah, he plays Jesse.
The best friend, right. Mm-hmm. And and that's who I think.
But he needs to go through his own makeover in order for him. Because the thing is, you know, become pretty and shallow and just look at people for their statuses and how attractive they are. That's like at the end how it plays out.
So it would have been the sequel.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right. I see. Okay.
I feel like that's its own other movie too.
Right.
That's its own other genre and where it's like the best friend. It's like all this time, the love of my life was right here next to me.
Wasn't that one of the... Yep.
Some Kind of Wonderful is one of the best ones I saw.
I never saw that.
That's very good. You'll like it.
There's not another Molly Ringwald movie like that?
Probably.
Where was her best friend all along?
You might be thinking of Pretty in Pink, but she never got with Ducky. She got with Angie McCarthy.
Oh.
So
maybe I'm thinking of
Pretty in Pink. Maybe you projected that ending because that's what everybody wanted.
Right.
A nice actually reworking of this classic Pygmalion story is the story of Cyrano de Bergerac. Who's this guy who has a big nose and he's a poet and he's very, you know, romantic and he's in love with Roxanne, but Roxanne would never cast an eye on Cyrano because of the way he looks.
Excuse me. Doesn't that book predates Pygmalion?
Yeah, well, but I'm saying in terms of this story, it's like the reversal of it. And so, you know, the guy uses Cyrano's words to woo Roxanne. And then after a while, she realizes actually that it's Cyrano that she's in love with because what she's in love with is what's inside, not outside. So it's a nice reversal of it. Also, they're doing a new Cyrano and we will be covering it this year.
Oh, thank God. Oh, my God. Any chance to watch Roxanne starring Steve Martin?
Yeah. You know who's actually going to be in this version of Cyrano?
Is it Steve Martin?
No. He's already done it. Peter Dinklage?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that casting and
see
so on.
I'm very curious to see this.
Cover it.
I hope that, is it going to be like a theatrical release or is it going to be like a...
It's coming out around Christmas, so we'll see where things are by then. We'll
and the female version of that one was The Truth About Cats and Dogs with Uma Thurman.
Oh, I've never seen that one. I only know the title, though.
Yeah, the same idea. It's like the beautiful girl attracted to the new guy, but then it's her like new best friend who's kind of frumpy is like giving her like the...
That's right. Yes, I remember this.
Giving
one,
her
Janine
the voice.
Garofalo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so who was the frumpy one? Did they make Uma Thurman
Janine
frumpy?
Garofalo.
Okay, that makes sense. That checks. Yeah. That tracks.
Yeah. Oh, this is fun. We'll get to do all the different versions of Cyrano. But yeah, so any last thoughts on She's All That before we move towards
He's All That? I'm trying to...
One of my favorite jokes in not another teen movie that is also just in, I guess, in teen movies in the 90s in general is the Tolkien Black character and how they're at the party and he's like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm the token black guy. There can only be one of us. Speaking of the lack of diversity in these films.
Which is interesting, right? There was a lot more diversity in this film than I remember. Granted, they were like secondary. Gabrielle Union, Little Kim, Gus from...
Usher. Yeah, Gus, I guess.
Gus from Psych, who was like, you know, he was in the posse.
Yeah, Duel Hill. Yeah, I guess I expected them to have bigger roles.
I mean, they were secondary. They were like, they weren't the main characters, but they were enough where I saw them enough to recognize that, like, oh, it's not all white as I remember. But it wasn't enough, obviously. I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, it's not Bring It On.
It is not Bring It On, which also came out in 1999.
Shut up. 1999 was a great year for teen movies.
I told you.
Oh, my God. Bring It On is what that is. I hope they never remake it, but I hope we get to cover it on the podcast. You know what I mean?
Maybe they'll do a film version of the musical.
Oh, maybe. I wouldn't. That seems like something that could happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone will watch it, but.
Oh, really? Okay. So, you know, She's All That was a major success. Actually, the box office to this film was $7 to $10 million, and it grossed $103 million.
Yeah, teen dramas. Teen dramas, teen rom-coms.
But this movie, I mean, you know, this movie was released in January of 1999.
Oh,
but, like,
had a whole year to
make it. Yeah. And, like, movies, especially at that time that were released in January, they were going against the Oscar contenders and all of like the movies that were finally getting their releases from the year left over. So like January movies, nobody has faith in them. January, February. And yet here we are all these years later talking about She's All That. Look at that. They didn't realize what they had on their hands.
Yep.
And we're talking about it because there's a Netflix remake and they did a role reversal. And this time it's He's All That.
Yep.
So do you know why this happened, Rolando?
So... My guess is that somebody had the rights to this movie and was like, yo, let's redo this movie, but also to make sure that we get an audience, let's cast a TikToker, right? And Addison Rae was cast, and voila, a movie is made.
Yeah, actually, you know, I'm talking about production history. Like, there was all of this to it. But that's all it takes these days. What movie have we not remade? Oh, but, we could do that. Like, but instead of she's all that, he's all that.
Yeah. I mean, look, I had no idea this movie. I had no idea this movie was in production. Sorry, everyone, if you hear my dog. But I had no idea this movie was in production. It kind of just like dropped in August. And I was like, you know, when Netflix recommended things, I see He's All That. And I'm just like, wait, is that a remake of She's All That? It can't be. And you look at the description, like, it's a remake of She's All That. Why am I just now finding out about this while we're on vacation from remakes, reboots, and revivals? How dare you, Netflix? You have no respect for our podcast.
Actually, you know, speaking of no respect, I heard that they closed a COVID testing center just so they could film this movie. They're like, oh, we want this location, so we're going to close a COVID testing center and people can't access it.
Was that a high school? I'm assuming the high school was a COVID testing center,
maybe,
right?
I don't know the exact filming location, but it might be.
That would be my guess, right? Usually that high schools probably served as like a campus to thing, and that's pretty bad PR.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's set this film in a negative direction.
But when it was even released. When was the closure? Like, were they already
December 2020?
Oh, that's like no. I'm gonna.
That was like second wave era.
Because by then they were already like, the vaccine was already in the horizon. I think like at that point, like the tests were much more widely available. So I'm assuming that that center was probably on its way to be closed soon.
I'm
playing devil's advocate here.
Yeah, they reversed a decision and they opened it back up. I think it was at Union Station in Los Angeles. So I don't think it was high school.
Okay.
Because you know, they got such bad PR over it.
So. Right. Okay. I don't know. I'm just saying. It's just like, I'm neither here nor there for it.
Okay. No, I mean, whatever. but yeah, continue.
What?
I went in with that.
So I don't know. That's all I knew about the movie. I knew that Addison Rae was a TikToker, and my guess was just that like some company, whoever had the rights to this, was just like, yeah, let's just redo this, and we're destroying Addison Rae here.
So the director of this film is Mark Waters. He's known for directing one of the best high school movies of all time.
What is it?
Mean Girls.
Oh, shut up. Mm-hmm. I love that for him.
I love that for him too. He also directed a film called Freaky Friday.
I love that one too.
Which we could totally cover on this podcast at some point, because I think they're doing another one.
I'm sure they are.
He's done other films too. He did Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, The Spiderwick Chronicles, Just Like Heaven, Head Over Heels. So, you know, he's a continuously working director, but I would say he gave us Mean Girls, and Mean Girls is amazing.
Mm.
I wish high school was like that. Just because also, man, how quotable would high school have been?
Me too.
So obviously he was a natural choice for this, I actually think. If you're going to like do a film like this, you want it to have the kind of sensibility that Mean Girls had. But they didn't get Tina Fey to write the script. So already that changed.
That's also true. I think this is interesting, right? Because I think a better director, though, might have been the guy who have directed To All the Boys I've Loved Before.
Okay. I had not seen that.
That's a very cute teen movie. I love teen movies. I think that one does. It's such a fresh. I think it's based off of a book, but it's such a fresh teen. It's such a fresh teen story that I kind of was here for it. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe they didn't want it. That sounds. You say cute and heartwarming. Maybe they didn't want it to be as heartwarming. Yeah.
Give me just one
they
second.
Just wanted it to be fun.
I got it. I'll just take him upstairs.
No. It's fine. I know what he's upset about. Why did you put the?
Because I don't want him to go upstairs.
I know, but like, why don't you put the...
Because I don't want him to go to the kitchen.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay, everything is fine now. Oh my goodness. Okay. What would I say?
I think we were just talking.
Better hands, director. Yeah. But, okay, yeah. But, like, I don't know. Like, in his defense, like you said, he didn't write it either, though. So
yeah, and I think they just probably wanted it to have a fun, possibly, you know, just like whatever comedic, lighthearted, not heartwarming tone to it. So Rolando, sum up the difference between She's All That and He's All That in terms of the plot for
okay, so in He's All That, our main character is, ooh, I forgot her name already, I just know her by her real life name, Addison.
And she's
she has Padgett. A horrible name, Padgett. What yeah. kind of a name is that?
We're in the new era, man. You know, when we used to come from Stephanie's and Amanda's, now there are Padgetts and
that
Sawyers
name drove
and...
me so crazy throughout the movie. Padgett. All right, yeah. So Padgett. Padgett is a social media influencer.
Okay.
And she's using social media influencing as a way to save up for college because her mom works really hard just to afford the home they live in so they could go to the school district that she goes to. And she's living kind of like a double life where she has like this very glamorous life on social media. And her friends think she's like, you know, part of the wealthy elite, despite the fact that she is, you know, not.
Yeah.
And what happens is her boyfriend, who's another TikToker, is in the middle of making a music video. Meanwhile, she's like on TikTok live and the whole world sees her be made a fool because he's cheating on her. And somehow the world turns on her. So she's a victim. She's a victim in this situation. And she is the one that gets ostracized by society, which I think if there's no truer statement made in a movie this year, I think it's right there. Because a woman can get cheated on and she is still the one that gets the shit end of the stick. True. By society standards. Like, well, how fucked up is that? So she gets into a bet with one of her friends in her clique. To, you know, that they bet something. We don't know what the terms are of the bet in this one either until the very end. But, mm-hmm. you know, they decide to go on through a bet that she thinks that whoever, because she made her previous boyfriend, right? Like she sculpted him. So she's just like, I could do it again. So they find another guy and they find the kid from Karate Kai, Cobra Kai.
Yes. And that's Taylor Buchanan.
Taylor Buchanan. Okay.
Tanner. I'm so sorry.
Tanner Buchanan. I wasn't going to know.
Another name, though, that it's like Addison, Tanner, Madison. These are the leads' names.
Interesting. Addison doesn't bother me as much. Neither does Tanner, but Padgett? That's. that. I mean, no sin. No greater sin has been created in cinema.
It's just these are the names of, you know, the next generation. Everyone's going to have these names now. You know,
Ashley,
no longer of Matthew or Freddy's or Rachel's.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she goes out of her way to, like, you know, turn him into, you know, someone popular on Instagram too, like a boyfriend type of thing. And I don't know. He's kind of like a lot more standoffish than she is. So he is much more loner. He does film photography. He does horseback riding at.
Because these things that are considered uncool and unpopular. He's a photographer.
He's a photographer who rides, who works with horses. I'm just like, okay, like, in what world are you a fucking loser?
Seriously, like, these are terrible standards for unpopularity at this horrible
at this school.
Also, yeah. He's not ugly. Again, this is a person who they did a really bad job trying to hide or trying to make him, quote, ugly.
I don't know. And I think they did a good job because I thought he was so unattractive in the before.
They just gave him a terrible wig, put a beanie over him.
It was a pretty bad wig.
A really weird job at trying to give him a beard or like a unshaven, unkempt kind of
facial. Oh, I thought they were giving
thing.
Him like uneven skin. Like, you know how you need toner to like kind of like even it out?
If that was the case, though, like, I don't know. I feel like that would have been more of an issue during the makeover part, but all they did was show that they shaved him.
It's true. I guess his skin was getting kind of blotchy.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that too until I saw that they just shaved him. So it was like, oh, that was just hair.
Okay.
So, and that was a weird makeup job if that was supposed to be just hair. So, you know, he's a photographer. He does not give in to societal pressures. He's his own individual. He has dreams of traveling Europe. And he's uncool. And he's like he becomes, you know, the joke of a bet, essentially. It's really weird.
Right. The main reason he's uncool though is not because he not because of the things he does. He's uncool only because he has no social media, which I think might hold some merit, right? Where if you aren't on like Instagram or like TikTok or Twitter, who are you? You're nobody. You're like a mystery. You're like off the grid, basically, right? That's how I feel about my coworker who doesn't have any social media. And I'm just like, well, how
do you think they're happier for it?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. Not always. Mm. Because, I mean, they're not getting the constant rush of dopamine that we get.
Yeah. This is true. Oh, I'm just getting mine right now. It's interesting, though, because this film doesn't really take, in my opinion, a stance on social media, whether or not like social media is good, social media is bad. It just simply is a part of everyone's lives.
Which, think that's fine. I think that's okay.
Which is fine. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, because I think it is just a part of our lives. Like, what was she going to do? Have everyone stop using social media? Like, that's not realistic. That's a fantasy.
Yeah. So in the end, they actually do this thing where it's like, okay, so she's still using social media, but she's actually using it more as like, you know, a promotion of her life and like in her healthy relationship, I guess. So there's that, which I don't have a problem with. I think other people had a problem with because they were expecting it to be a harsher critique of social media. But then it's like they're making these statements on TikTok and Instagram. So it's like, what do you think?
It's a hard thing for teen movies to critique social media when it's just like it's so prevalent in life.
Yeah,
like,
you can't
bring down the beast anymore, right? Like, it's too big.
Yeah, you got to learn to live with it. And this movie is doing that, and that's fine. You know, it's interesting because I do think that people are being kind of unfairly mean to this movie.
To the movie?
Yeah.
Ooh, tell me.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't go in this expecting much.
Oscars?
I kind of was like, this movie is not going to be very good in some way.
Uh-huh.
And I think because of that, I was like, okay, sure. What I got was interesting and a little different.
Uh-huh.
And it felt a little flat, but it by no means was terrible. I think that I've seen way worse movies this year. I've seen way worse television shows this year. And people should be directing their anger and their negative opinions more towards those pieces than they are to this. I think people like to shit on things that, you know, are teen-based, that are comedic based, and then also the fact that they turn it around and the main character is now a woman. But I will say that the character of Padgett is not a very good character, and that's probably why people don't like it.
Oh, interesting. I actually liked Padgett.
So I actually liked the actress, right? I liked the actress, right? Even though I think that her acting needs a lot of work, because she does is like do this with her eyebrows. She like, you know, does this with crinkles her eyebrows, and that's her acting. Uh-huh. That's her range. But the character of Padgett has no flaws.
Didn't we just talk about women bringing down women, Nicole? My God.
Hey, I'm talking about people here. I don't see sex right now.
Ooh.
The character of Padgett has no flaws. When we meet her, she's a really sweet girl. And she's not mean to anybody. And she has a really great relationship with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a good student. Mm-hmm. And she's a good friend. And she gets cheated on by her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And Padgett never really ever shows that she's a bad person. Padgett never really is mean. Though she does this whole thing as a bet, she is kind of more so doing it because she likes to do makeovers because that's what she does.
That's a little bit more too there.
Yeah, she's doing it so that way she could get back into Khloe Kardashian's good graces.
Yes, which I couldn't believe a Kardashian was in this. But it was also, I feel like her reasoning for doing this bet could have been more easily explained to Cameron better than like Zach could have explained it to Lainey. Because his seemed more of like a butt of a joke thing,
right?
Where hers seemed more like an experiment and it didn't seem as mean-spirited.
You're telling me that hers was closer to the original Pygmalion?
Yeah, maybe. But it's also like I don't know if you guys agree with it. Like, I feel like Padgett had no arc in terms of she started off as a really nice person and she ended it as a this person?
Well,
like,
yeah.
When did she learn anything about herself other than, I mean, and then she gives that whole speech at the prom night. Like, but what did you learn? You were a good person before this and you're still a good person.
She learned that she can't, but she, all right. But her growth was, well, growth. I don't disagree with you, right? But I have a counter to you. But okay. Her growth was more so about the fact that, like, it's no longer just about her life, about chronicling. She wasn't showing just the best pictures anymore on social media was her goal, right? Which I think is not, again, I think when it comes to messaging, I think that's actually not as a negative message as it sounds, because, like, the problem we have with social media right now is that everyone Facetunes the shit out of them. Like, hey, look, I'm even guilty of this. I throw a face smoother on my thing, and then people are just like, oh my God, you have great skin right now. I'm just like, oh, thank you. They don't know. It's Photoshop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, so, like, that's her stand. That's her growth by the end. She's not going to just constantly be showing the best face of life or whatever. However, we just saw he's all that, and, like, the same thing happened with him. Like, he was, like, this fucking great student and stuff. Like, yeah, he had, like, a shitty bed, but, like, outside of that, like, he didn't really learn anything. He didn't do anything either.
I feel like he had a little bit more of an arc than she did. Because he was more of, like, a kind of, like, a preppy jerk, and he did look down on Lainey.
She kind of looked down on him, too, because of his lack of social media.
I think that's one thing. To look down on someone for not having social media, or to be confused by them in terms of physically finding someone kind of gross and beneath you, like he did towards Lainey, and she saw that.
I guess, and then the other thing I just lost my train of thought. Like, what was my other thing? Lainey. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah. So, our girls, Padgett and Zach. Like, while they are the main characters, the real growth and transformation always falls on the Eliza Doolittle character. They're the ones who have the transformative experience.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So the real growth that we're supposed to really be seeing is from the character. I don't remember his name
either. But the main character is Henry Higgins. The main character is Zach. The main character is Padgett. They also have to go through a transformation themselves. It's just not as physically apparent as
I think that
their statues.
I think the transformation is usually more like a realization. It's not so much of
this is a human being and
it's
all
like, oh my God, I'm in love. Like that kind of thing.
But when you get from point A to point B in any story, you have to go through a change. Mm-hmm. My point is that Padgett goes through no change because who she was at the beginning, she still is at the end. We don't really see her change as a person in any way. Even if it's a small change, we see that happen to Zach. We don't really see that happen to Padgett because she's a really nice person from the beginning to the end. You know, it's not like she treats her mom any differently or she looks at her friends any differently. She's supportive of her friends. It's her friend that backstabs her for some fucking reason.
Okay, that's true.
And also, you're saying that the social media thing that she might have learned that she gave that speech about at prom is, you know, like, oh, don't hide, present yourself as who you really are. But, like, Padgett wasn't hiding behind face, you know, filters. She did makeup because makeup is an art that she wanted to get into. So it's like she's not really hiding it. She's just using social media as a platform to show her talent within the makeup world.
Right. But the thing is, she's only posting. That's why when she has that slideshow, she's showing all like her worst photos, which are fine. Like, you know, like her worst are like, I wish I could.
Adorably cute.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But, yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's the other thing. Like, social media has this thing where like we only always show the very best moments. Like, if you look at my Instagram, it's a very curated, even yours, Nicole, Eddie, I can't say that because Eddie, I just realized you are the Tanner Buchanan character here because your presence on social media is.
He posted today about.
Did you post? What did you post today?
Book club.
Yeah.
Post a book club. Wow.
I liked it on all three of my accounts. And you know about it.
Oh my God. Who are we, Nicole?
We've gotten here, I swear. And it's weird because, I mean, the movie also doesn't. It's hard to make that commentary on social media because it doesn't really take a social media as good or bad thing. But I guess the message, too, is like, oh, present yourself, be okay with who you are and present yourself accurately or something. I don't know. True. But then it's also like, I then guess. That's a bad message for a film that's about a makeover. You're not embracing who you really are. Even though they're trying to say is that you are this person. You just have to love yourself and treat yourself better, perhaps.
Yeah. Which that message was there, right? When the little sister, who I thought was like adorable.
Yeah, that was the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah, when she just tells him, it's just like, this person you are, like, you haven't been this person since our mom died. Yeah. Now,
let's talk about the best acting in the entire movie.
I would agree.
Yeah.
The mom's death. That was, like, the most long-winded explanation for a mother dying. Like, she was flying a plane, and the plane crashed or something. It was just like, that's a weird... You could have just say cancer or something, like, as a writer. Like, why did we have to go into this whole weird, like...
Yeah, maybe it was based on somebody he knew.
I don't know. It was way too specific for me to be... I felt a little uneasy listening to that. I was just like, the writer is processing something.
It might have also been the actor's delivery, and we should talk a little bit
It was weird writing. It was just weird.
It was a little bit of... I mean, the writing wasn't that great. So, we all love Cobra Kai here. Can't wait for it to come back. Mm-hmm. So the character of Cam is played by Tanner Buchanan, who plays Johnny in Cobra Kai. And he showed some of his karate skills in this movie too.
Yeah. Obviously, because Netflix was just like, well, like, you have to do some karate, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Like, this is what people want. So he's still a young actor. He's still getting, you know, his wits about him as an actor. Addison Rae is a TikTok star. So I'm going to leave it to the fact that they're still young and inexperienced, but I felt no fucking chemistry between these two. I think that every time something happened, I felt like I missed a beat. I'm like, oh, he's going on the stage to rescue her from catastrophic karaoke thing. When did he care that much? Like, I felt like I missed that beat.
What are you talking about? His best friend Nishi was always there saying, he's like, oh my god, bitch, are you crushing?
Well, yeah, at that very party it was
very explicitly told to us. We didn't even have to see it was just told.
I don't know, anytime I saw it, yeah, it was told to us pretty much. Right. And I never really felt it. I enjoyed her overall more than I enjoyed him. I just did feel his acting was kind of flat for me.
Wait, Addison or Nishi? The best
I liked Addison, although I do think that, you know, like I said, her acting is just crunching her eyebrows. I enjoyed Nishi, and I enjoyed that they went there, you know, and it's like, okay, cool, yeah. You know, the only two minority girls fall in love with each other. That's cool. I take that.
I was cool with it. I thought it was,
and I wanted more time with that. Yeah, because it was just kind of there. You know, and we didn't see them fall in love at all.
Well, you know what? I didn't need to see them fall in love. But what I did actually appreciate, though, with Nishi, though, was how protective she was of her friend, though. I did love that. Sweet. That kind of... So that's the thing about this movie. I think there were some things that they did right.
Yeah, their friendship, they did right.
Their friendship was great. I think the friendship between... I think her name was Chloe, right? The friend... the best friend... Bryn? The girl Nishi ends up with.
Oh, Quinn.
Well, Quinn, I think Quinn, even like, you know, I actually ended up liking her character because she was caught in the middle, but she still made the right decision, right? Because, like, I feel like any other girl would have gone with whoever looks like they're going to win. And the little sister. But shockingly, one of my favorite moments of this movie was when the girls are looking for their target on who they're going to make over, and they're going through their list of guys. When they went on the chubby guy, right? Sebastian Wu. Thank you, Eddie. At no point did they call out his physical attributes. Mm-hmm. They always spoke about him, and they were actually quite the opposite, right? They were just like, oh, I don't know, a little bit of a hair product, and he'd be cute, right? And I thought, like, oh, what a breath of fresh air here on a teen movie where they're not criticizing his weight. And then they make a point, just like, oh, by the way, didn't someone just buy his app? Oh, my God, he's going to be a millionaire soon. So it's just like, I'm so happy for this kid. And he actually had a little bit more. I mean, for a teen movie, he showed up like twice, I think, which I was just okay, sure. That felt fresh. I wish they had more moments like this where, like, we have more body, if one of the popular girls was a little heavier, right? But I will say this about Addison Rae, why I actually also liked her in her casting. Well, I'm not saying that she is, I mean, she looks healthy, right? Which I think sometimes the problem with some of these teen movies is like they pick like really thin, like body proportionates are like all over the, you know what I mean? And I, mm-hmm. she looked like a very, very normal young girl because she is. She's a TikToker.
I actually had like my own conversation with myself at that moment with Sebastian Wu where I was like, oh, is this real? You know, would they actually ignore something like, wait, you know, because people are, we're still working past it. But mm-hmm. then I was like, well, this is how we get better representation is if we fix these things, you know? So I had my own kind of like back and forth with that. And I did like that. And it's just like, reminds me of Not Another Teen Movie where it's like, they're going through all the people that they could put the bet on. Then there's a literal deformed, bizarre looking, almost like fantastical, magical creature that they're like, oh, not her. And then they settle on Janie because she has glasses and a ponytail. Right. So it's just like, this movie almost kind of went there too. But just because.
Are you saying the chubby kid was a fantastic?
No, I'm saying that it's more so the fact that he wears a beanie and has blotchy skin or something. Like, is that what constitutes as, oh, this is the line? He's a mess. Because she says something like, he's a mess.
No. Because
they were looking at him from afar. They didn't know that he had no social media then.
No. But then immediately she went and she's like, oh, God, the only thing I found about him was Twitter. Like, he had a
tweet. Oh, that's right. And he said that one Twitter. Yeah. You're right.
So that was what made the decision for them, right? Because, I mean, this movie is all about social media, right? Like, it's about. That's what this movie is about.
Yeah. I just want to say that this movie got Kourtney Kardashian. I thought it was Kim at first. I don't know anything about the Kardashians. It got Kourtney Kardashian and almost penned her as a villain. cool with that.
Rightfully so, though, right?
I was shocked that she would want herself to be portrayed
you think that she knew what she would be portrayed as?
I don't know, but...
Those two scenes were filmed at the same time, you know, same location. Yeah. All she had to do was just read a couple of lines. She was looking at her phone constantly too, so she could also just catch
them. They're feeding into her ear. You know what I mean? Yeah.
We forgot to mention that Rachel Lee Cook makes an appearance in this movie.
Yeah, so she's the mother. She plays the mom. And Matthew Lillard is the principal. And those are pretty much the only two characters that
I was really hoping Freddie Prinze would come back.
Yeah, right? Me too.
I was hoping that he was gonna be the principal. I was happy when it was Matthew Lillard, because
I also thought it was going to be the principal.
I thought it was going to be Freddie Prinze. They have very similar voices.
Yeah, I mean, I love Matthew Lillard, but I thought there would be more.
This movie reminded me how much I actually miss Matthew Lillard.
Like, yeah,
he needs to come back. Like, he needs like a good Netflix or like HBO show.
Yeah, right. Like, because it's not like he's not there, but like he needs something a little bit more fame worthy because he's just on the sidelines. I will say though, Rachel Lee Cook was kind of, I thought was a little awkward because it was like when Kiss Me started playing and she was like, I feel like I know this song. And then she like started like dancing oddly to it. I was like, you're awkward. Maybe that was the point of it, but
I don't know if Rachel Lee Cook has done much acting though since the last thing I remember Rachel Lee Cook was in that commercial about the eggs. This is your brain on drugs.
Oh my gosh, I don't even remember that. She was in Josie and the Pussycats.
Well, she was Josie?
She was Josie.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, she did a show called Perception where she played like an agent.
Oh.
Working with this, like a mentalist or a neurologist, scientist.
The Mentalist type
Perception,
of TV shows.
Yeah, it was on for 3 seasons.
Damn. Okay.
She was actually pretty good on that.
Yeah. I mean, Mentalist type TV shows were hot. Like Psych, The Mentalist.
I guess
Perception, you know what I mean? Like those were of the rage. All right. Let's get back to this movie. Nicole, do you think this movie was needed? I'm just going to go right into it.
No. I did want to talk about Jordan.
Oh. Who's Jordan?
The ex-boyfriend.
Oh, the TikTok star.
The Justin Bieber wannabe. Do you remember him?
Am I supposed to remember him?
Yeah, because we covered him in something.
What?
He was in Girl Meets World.
Yes.
Who was he in Girls Meets World?
It was like the love interest. Fryer. He was the love interest.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Whoa, he looks like a whole different person.
Well,
like,
he's grown.
Grown, yeah.
But I remember watching it and I was like, I know this actor. And it was just so interesting too, because I love how men have changed, at least like in terms of this is what the popular guy looks like and this is how the popular guy dresses. Uh-huh. And this is what the unpopular guy looks like, and this is how the unpopular guy dresses.
Well, the unpopular guy dresses like.
So I appreciated like that. Like, he was more flamboyant grunge. And uh-huh. like almost like David Bowie-ish. And then, yeah, like the unpopular kid was 90s grunge and uh-huh. a beanie and just like no effort, you know, into fashion and stuff. So that I kind of did appreciate, because I actually do think that you'll feel better if you present yourself in a better way. Mm-hmm. You know, people who kind of dress down.
I have a surprise quote. I have something to think about on that one, right? Have you noticed that most of our American superheroes have been cast to be British, have been cast by British men, or like non-American men? The majority of them are non-American.
So there's Robert Downey Jr., there's Chris Evans.
Chris Hemsworth is Australian.
There's Doctor Strange is Benedict British. Cumberbatch.
Robert Pattinson, who's Batman. Christian Spider-Man? Bale. Tom Holland is British.
Who else is there? Black Panther is American.
Black Panther, yeah, I think he is was American. He passed away.
So that's about half. Superman is British. Wonder Woman is not American. I don't know where she's from.
She Israel.
Well, I mean, that's great, you know, because
it.
It is. What's your point?
No, my point is, though, that there is kind of like, so I remember reading this article. It was granted on it might be on a problematic magazine, I found out, Men's Health, because apparently Men's Health has like this toxic masculine culture around it. But it basically was about this.
Shock.
Sorry for saying this, but it's about the pacification about American men and how Hollywood, as a result, was casting like other men from other countries to because the American male is now TikTokers or like, you know, a lot more into the metrosexual look. It was just an interesting read. I don't remember when I read that article. I don't know if I even know if I could find it, but
yeah, you know. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, when you were talking about like this, the popularity thing, it kind of struck, it reminded me of it, because I think it even came up in that 21 Jump Street remake where Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill, you know, Channing Tatum was just like, you're the popular one. I'm like the loser now, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Things do change. And yeah, mm-hmm. things that come. And it's nice, too, that the things that are becoming more popular now are, you know, not like the dumb jock. Nerds are in, you know.
I mean, yeah, nerds.
Nerds have finally got their revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, nerds create the tech that we use, and we know they're going to be rich, so that makes sense. That checks.
Yeah, and nerds are not like how they're portrayed in Revenge of the Nerds. They're actually like normal, good-looking people.
Like, who can also be finally... like super, super misogynistic.
That too. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, they're flawed, just like mm-hmm. everybody else. Anyway, so that was nice. But to answer your question as to whether or not I thought this was needed... No, absolutely not. I mean, I think majority of what we got this year were all things that I didn't need and didn't think twice about. Oh, maybe I did need this. Like, no, mm-hmm. I don't. Nothing made me change my mind about whether or not this was needed. I guess that everyone thinks that this was a waste of time. People are calling it a heaping pile of garbage. I wouldn't say that. I would call Tom and Jerry that, maybe. And this actually provided me with, you know, something a little bit more than some of the other things that we've covered. And I do think people are being unfairly mean to this, but no, we did not need it. Do you think we needed it, Rolando?
So, you know, I knew that question, like yesterday, I kept wrestling with that question. It's just like, did I need this? I don't know if I needed this. And I don't know if I can say no either. If that makes sense, right? Like, I'm very much caught in the middle. I'm just like, maybe. Mm. That would be my answer. Because I don't think I needed the gender role reversal for sure. Obviously, like, it's just like, that could have been, You could have just made another different kind of Pygmalion movie, and not, it didn't have to be She's All That. But there was something about this movie that I liked, and I kind of am leaning towards, like, okay, like, I know I'm not the target demo for this. Like, the target demo is, like, people who were my age when I saw She's All That, 13. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess for them, maybe. Like, maybe it's okay for them to watch a movie where the end message here is just like, yo, your social media, like, yeah, it's going to be an important part of your life. It is, sadly. Like, you and I are in creatives. We understand, like, it is a make or break for our careers. But I think Padgett's, that name, I think her message at the end about, like, maybe it's about being an authentic version of yourself, though, that's more important. I'm like, okay, that's actually not a bad message, right? It's just not. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's a good takeaway to have. And maybe also at the same time, like, just maybe also, I'm thinking of, like, the 13-year-olds who are watching this. I'm just like, maybe also just seeing it, just like, there's more to people also outside of their social media followings.
Well, okay, so that would be a criticism I'm going to throw in right at the last minute, is that the film kind of ends on this note where now she takes her social media into this new direction. It's all kind of based on her relationship. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Padgett's found herself yet. I would tell her, don't base your success around your relationship. Don't base your life around your relationship. And also, don't get matching tattoos.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is
a relationship.
That is a death kiss.
It kind of ends with her needing to learn that and me being like, oh, please don't take that away, because it's also like, oh, now she's happy because she's in a fulfilling relationship that now is going to help her with her career. And those things should be separate.
I mean, I don't disagree with you there. Look, I'm not saying this was a perfect movie. And like I said, I'm, like, very much torn as to whether or not I needed this movie or not. I don't know yet. And that might be something that I might have a decision on by the end of the year based off of the rest of the movies that we see. Because, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, this year there have been a lot of clunkers. This one was one of those movies where when I was watching it, I came in ready to hate this movie, even though I'm the one who picked it.
Yeah, you were so gung-ho.
Yeah, because I wanted to, like, watch a movie to hate. And yet I came out, like, saying, like, oh, this wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. And yeah, I guess maybe the Addison Rae actress, she was one who, I think her and the sister, they won me over.
The sister was good.
You know, like, mm-hmm. even, like, the little lesbian love story in the middle, the fucking drop it like F. Scott party, like, God.
Oh, God, I want that, like, party. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my God, like, make your birthday that.
Please. Yeah, wasn't, I think January and F. Scott Fitzgerald are, like, synonymous with each other, but I don't remember why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. Maybe
was he
New
was
Year's
he
parties are really famous for doing, like, January a Roaring 20. I don't know. He doesn't come off as a Capricorn to me. Let's see.
Maybe Zelda Fitzgerald was born in January. Zelda. Anyway,
he was born on September 24th, which is very soon.
Oh my gosh! This I think when we're listening to this, you might be listening. Happy birthday, F. Scott.
Yeah, that'll be the title of the
episode. Happy birthday, F. Scott.
Oh my gosh! Wow, you have to make it all the way to the end to get that one.
Yeah, people are gonna be listening, just like, why is this happy birthday, F. Scott?
Oh my gosh, I love that. I think that's the perfect way to end this episode.
I think
honestly.
So too. Yeah. I think so too.
So did you watch He's All That? You know, do you agree that this is a heaping pile of garbage, or did you actually enjoy it? You gotta let us know. And these are the ways you can let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook, facebook.com/remakesreboots revivals. We are active on Instagram at remakesreboots revivals. You can find us on YouTube. Just type in our name. You can find us on Twitter at Remakes Podcast. And we do have a hotline that you could call in and share your thoughts with. What is that hotline, Rolando?
The number is 862-248-2326. That's 862-248-2326. Give us a call anytime and leave a voicemail.
Yes, you can email us also at remakesreboots revivals@gmail.com. And if you enjoy this podcast, please give us a rating. Let us know your thoughts and share it with anybody. It really does help us grow. So on that note, thank you so much for listening. And until next time,
stay unoriginal.